Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone. Hello, I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. It's 8 o'clock here in New Jersey, and we have a lot of things that we're going to be talking to you about. As a matter of fact, we are going to be covering a story, I think, that happened in Baltimore. And, yes, and we have a young lady calling in and giving us an update of the case of Freddie Gray. Is it Freddie Gray? Yeah. It's Freddie Gray out there in, I think it is, he's in Baltimore, absolutely right. I just forgot for a minute because, you know, I'm really rushing around doing a lot of things. Eric is on assignment, and he may be calling in. However, we're going to be going on. We're expecting Wayne Gilman to call in. Wayne was the former news director of WLIB, BLS, right in New York City. So he is going to be calling in also during the rest of the program. And we're going to be also talking to a young lady from Baltimore. I just mentioned that, but I'm going to wait until Eric calls in, and he will, if he's not going to call in, well, anyway, she's going to be calling in and giving us this update that I was talking about. In a rush. I'm sounding like I'm in a rush. Let me just be talking about Eric. I was reading this thing about Eric Payne, our co-host, my son, and I forgot all the things that he had done. You know, he is also working with Payne, campaign with the Payne, the congressional, the whole congressional aspect of the family. But Eric is in from California. That's why, you know, he co-hosts with me because of the fact that I had persuaded him to come back to New Jersey to participate in the talk show that we're doing here, Kay Thompson Live. And hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Kay Thompson Live. We will bring you news, information, education, and all those kind of good things and bad things. We talk to a lot of people about a lot of things, and we're all so glad to keep you up to date on what's going on. You know, the political campaigns are heating up. I don't know if they can get any hotter, really. They're absolutely, I don't know, this is absolutely crazy, especially when you think, when you talk about or even think about the person running for the presidency, the most important seat, the most important, place, you know, in the entire world. We're talking about the United States government. We're talking about America. We're talking about, you know, being president, you know, being all, taking care of all the issues that you have to take care of when you are the head of a huge concern, meaning a huge country. It's just the weight of the presidency of the United States is just so incredible. It is absolutely so incredible to even to think about. And when we think about someone who, the present person running for the presidency, that is Donald Trump, when you think about someone like that, going to be president of the United States, of the most important country in the entire world, and with the things that he says about people, for people, the things that the names that he calls, he's like a little spoiled child, you know, and getting into battles with everyone. How in the world do you do that and, you know, have other people take you seriously in running an entire country? Is it because he has more money than probably most people I know, most people, anybody I know? But the point is, you know, he is really somebody like that with the kinds of things that he says to people and kinds of insults and the kinds of things that he comes out saying. It's just incredible. It's mind-blowing. So, but anyway, we have a good program on for tonight. I was going to give something about Eric, and I want to tell you about this because the fact that, you know, we're going to be doing programs of involving the theater, we're involving the movies. I want to tell you about Eric because the fact that he came in from California to do the show with me. And sometimes it's funny because of the fact that when we do a show out of air, sometimes we clash. And I think it's the funniest thing in the world because he has one opinion and I have another opinion. And he's a lot younger than I am, of course. And I'm older, so therefore we sometimes, clash with opinions on something. But anyway, you know, he appeared on stage and, you know, and a whole lot of things, you know, specifically in the Dorset Theater production, the festival production of A Lesson from Alex. And that won the New England Theater Conference Award for Best Production of the Season. That was years ago. And then he did Peel Hill at the Studio Arena Theater, Peel Hill at Artford Stage, the world premiere of Police Boys at the Baltimore Center Stage and New York Shakespeare Festival, the production of Jonan. Maybe some of you might remember that. And we are going to be going right now to a young lady who's calling in from Baltimore. And before she gets on, I just want to introduce her. Her name is Cecilia Carl, Cece. And she is going to be letting us know what's going on in Baltimore. And to be very serious, I'm going to be talking about Eric in a minute. But also with the Freddie Gray case, this young man was killed in Baltimore, and we wanted to get an update on it, what's going on in the community and how the community feels about it and so forth and so on. Cece, are you there?
Hi, Ms. Kay. I am here and happy to be here. How are you?
We're fine. We're so glad that you are able to call in and give us this update on, you know, the situation there. First of all, thanks for doing the show. Now, give us a little bit about your background now.
Well, thanks for asking me. You know, my background is I am a native Baltimorean, native Hamptonian. Very proud of that. Left for a while. I am in sales and finance right now as a career, and still touching on my journalism background in regard to writing and blogging and having my own opinions and trying to get my thoughts out in into the world, because I still feel like they're positive and they have a purpose and a meaning. So I'm very, very grateful for you and always, and you know that, for the opportunity to express and let people know what's going on in my backyard.
Uh-huh. And we're so glad to have you, because you're going to be on board, you know, and, you know, reporting to us and bringing us up to date on different topics, either in Baltimore or worldly. So, you know, I'm so glad you're with us, Cece. But anyway, Go ahead.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, good. Okay.
I should say I have to tell people that this is Kay Thompson Live, by the way, everyone. We're on every Wednesday, 8 to 9, and we're broadcasting here on the Internet, and we're talking to Cecilia Quarles, and she is in Baltimore, and we're going to be talking about the case of Freddie Gray, who was killed. Also, we're going to go to the 718 number that we have. I don't know who's on the line, but hello, you're on the air. Hello, 718-655, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Good evening, yes. Kay. That's me. It's Wayne.
Okay.
And
we don't recognize the number. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Well,
you can give out the rest of the digits at this point. No, I'm only teasing.
Okay, I'll give out the number. And then can I tell people you're available or something or what?
Well, that might help, you know. That might help. My luck has been going, you know. What could I say? I'm thinking about moving south. Who knows?
But Wayne, all right, former news director of WLIB, BLS, been with us ever since we've been doing Gay Towns a lot. Meet Cece Quarles, Cecilia Quarles. She's calling in from Baltimore, and we're going to be talking about the Freddie Gray case. So say hello, you two.
Good evening, Cece. How are you?
Good evening, Wayne. I remember you from the last time I called in, I think when the riots were going on here.
Right, so right. I thought I recognized your voice and your name, right. Yeah.
And you as well. Thank you.
Yeah. I see a lot has happened since the last time we spoke, though, particularly this week.
It's pleasantly quiet here in Baltimore. Than the last time we spoke. Things are bubbling under the surface, very, you know, I'm sure, but because of the acquittal of this last police officer, there was a little bit of protest, a little bit of kind of backlash from the community, but, you know, we weren't expecting him to to face any charges or to be indicted because of the fact that this particular officer at the time of the incident with Freddie Gray really did not do anything. He was kind of just there. So that is the judge on the case, you know, and really rightly so, you know, decided that there's no need to prosecute this officer who really did not only did he not touch Freddie Gray in any way, he didn't have anything. He was like I said, he was a buy. He was there as an officer, but he did not physically do anything. The problem is going to be the next two cases that are coming up, the driver and I believe the officer who did not seatbelt Freddie Gray into the paddy wagon at the time of the incident. You know, if these two go get acquitted, which I can't imagine they will, then there's going to be bedlam.
Wow.
Yeah, so the tension is definitely still there in the city. I mean, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
No question about it. No, and the country is watching. I mean, it's this case. Everyone saw on national television this young boy he was on the ground with at least over 200-pound police officers. One had his knee in the boy's back of his neck, and the other had his knee in his base of his spine. And my opinion of when I saw that, I believe they broke that boy's back when he was on the ground on the concrete. I just do. When you picked him up, you could physically see that he could not put any weight on his leg, and they threw him in the back of a paddy wagon, and then his breathing became compromised after that. That's just my opinion. I don't know how anybody else that saw the same footage I did not see these two big, you know, 250-pound cops, one on one on the upper part of his back with a knee and the other in the bottom part of his back with a knee in his spine, and then he heard him screaming. To me, that's when the infraction occurred. But that's just me, and I'm not an attorney, but that's what I saw. And certainly,
even if you weren't a medical practitioner or what have you, and I don't know, you know, your background, but clearly, I mean, it's just certainly a theory that certainly needs to be considered. You know, it just seems to be almost basic common sense. Something like that could happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What is the status? We're looking right now, Alf, at a picture of that I don't have that up right now. But anyway, what is the status of the black and white community right now with the police, Cece? Because of the fact that I'm wondering, because of that, you know, we had so many times, you know, the police, the white police, and the black community. It's still, you know, a very, very frictional, you know, rough kind of relationship. So what has been happening since then? And also, I want to ask you, what has been the situation up to this point?
You know, Kay, that's a great question. I think that, you know, it's like when a little kid gets in trouble and now your parents are you're on punishment and in general it you know, they're kind of, the police are probably on their better behavior. But there has been a big outreach from several in the community who are trying to help our young people. There's a friend of a young lady who started the Kids Safe Zone right after, as a result of the riots, where she and several other community activists have made a place for our youth to go to, and it's really gaining a lot of momentum and growth and support. And from the police department in the community, where they're trying to open up communication. And it's located right in this space where the riots occurred, right in the inner city, right where these kids are. Most of them have no parents, really, or you know, they don't have anywhere to go that is conducive for a healthy lifestyle after school. So this young lady, Erica Alston, has created a place that has grown exponentially since the riots. And then to the point where there's a whole new location. for children. It's an after school program, and they have dancing, they have arts and crafts, they have computer classes, and this is a direct result of what happened with Freddie Gray. So Baltimore is responding, and Baltimore is uplifting itself, and going to continue to thrive and support and uplift our children. Because of the situation. So it's, they're positive things that are coming out of it, you know, but again, we're coming out of a culture that is still based on on what it is, what we all know
To say even to this point that we're coming out of it, you know, that's the thing that gets me angry, because this goes back so many years, you know, this conflict between the white community with the police department and the black community. This happens over and over and over again. And, you know, you sort of wonder, when does it stop? Because, you know, it's always moving closer and closer to a major rebellion. And something else, something more has to be done. People have got to feel that, you know, listen, we're all in this together, and you better get it together, because you don't want to, you want to survive together. But anyway, what has been the atmosphere, the relationship with the police department and the black community in Baltimore up to this particular point, Cece? Were you born in Baltimore, by the way?
I was born in Baltimore. And I was I'm grateful to have been born in a culture in the 60s where life wasn't like this here.
Yeah.
At all. You know, we had neighborhoods. We had people watching. You know, everybody. It was a village. When I grew up, it was a different city, it was a different time, but it's a different time around the world and around the country. The 60s and the 70s were just different, where we looked out for each other. So I'm blessed to have come from that foundation. I think that people are treading lightly now. I think that police are on their best behavior, because they know everybody has a cell phone, they know everybody has a camera, and they know that this trial is not over. And they also know that if somebody doesn't really pay for the actions of killing Freddie Gray for no reason, it's going to be another riot in the city. And there's no doubt in my mind about that. So you can feel that bubbling undercurrent in Baltimore, that if these, especially the two police officers that threw him in the paddy wagon without a seatbelt, you know, purposely drove through the parts of the city where there were to cause him more pain, and you know, this is a culture that is not new. It's old. They've been doing this forever, and that's why you saw these kids in the street, because they've been harassed and abused, and that's all they know. So that has started to change, and the part of the kids safe zone that I mentioned has police, you know, coming to the center and talking to the kids and trying to get kids to understand that all police officers are not the enemy and are not trying to put you in jail.
I think that's a commendable effort on the part of that young lady who started the organization. I saw a piece on 60 Minutes about her, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Obama had also acknowledged her work and all that.
Yes.
I mean, she's barely out of her teens, if I'm not mistaken, or 18. Or she's barely out of high school, I think. And
she's a little older than that, but she's a she's a little older now, but she's a young woman, and she really just became on fire for this cause. And she just completely wanted to save our children, and that's what started it, and she got backing, and she's doing a wonderful job. And it's the whole program is growing. Nationally is growing.
Yeah, and it's commendable. It's just sad that older people who are entrenched, even elected officials, their feet should be held to the fire that somebody who's not even in the system would start something like that. But, Cece, I'm just curious, given the political climate of the country, especially with the presidential contest, and particularly with NRA throwing its blind support behind Donald Trump, what's the feeling about, you know, Black Lives Matter and all the other issues that face, you know, Baltimore at this particular time?
Yeah, great question.
Yeah, it is a great question. You know, I think Baltimore is, you know, kind of in a little bit of a bubble with in a way. I don't think that in general, the political, the presidential race really has any bearing on anything in the city in regard to the inner city and these young people, what their daily lives mean and what they go through, to be honest with you. They're not cognizant of it. I just don't, hopefully whoever becomes president will understand that there are young black lives that are living daily in a situation where they don't have parents, where the parents they have are drug addicted, where their role models are non-existent, where they live in fear of authority, where they don't understand what it means to be respectful of somebody that's been on this earth, and they need help. So this
right.
is what, we have to get down on their level and start from there. The presidential candidates in the race in this country have no bearing, unfortunately, on really these young people.
Yeah.
But also, do you know one thing? We should not have to do this by ourselves, meaning that we live in a community. We live among different people. Different people have to get together and also support, the African-American kids because of the long history of racism in this country. For instance, Baltimore was, I think, a hotbed some years ago. But let me go to this. Eric Garner in New York. Shot and killed by a policeman and it was televised. I was sitting there watching it. The man was shot, by his dope. But anyway, also Trayvon Martin, and this jerk there, Zimmerman, just sold his gun for thousands of dollars. And
is
then,
that beyond belief?
Is that unbelievable?
It's
okay.
Just
I tell
beyond
you.
Belief.
Yeah.
Beyond belief.
I think there's such a common thread with all these issues with respect to what's going on. And, I don't want to be one to espouse, fear at this point. But, the presidential contest will have a lot, people cannot afford to ignore what is going on all levels. That's the way I see it,
Yeah.
I mean, young people... There are a lot of young people who are actively involved in different movements and they're supporting different political figures. But, the rhetoric and the insults and the defamatory action that's come out of some of this, months of campaigning, I guess we're just beginning to see, how things are really going to heat up in the next couple of months now that it's been narrowed basically down to three candidates, I'm just concerned because, the trials will go on with these police officers. There's always the likelihood that, and I hate to see when we turn around and destroy our communities, but I also understand the anger that comes out of that, and I lived through that in the 60s in New York, know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's another thing. Spike Lee's film, Do the Right Thing. Do you remember that? That was almost a prototype for what's happening now. Okay? Do the Right Thing was with this young man who did something in the radio, Raheem. Bill Nunn played that part. And he died in the film. And Do the Right Thing have the certain big set of what am I going to say here? It's just like the Eric Garner case. It is just like a lot of the police cases that when they deal with people in the black community. I'm stuttering because of the fact that I think that Eric is going to be sitting right here with me. He's probably listening in. But anyway, black lives do matter. And in this day and age, to keep going through the same thing over and over again, it's just incredible. Do the Right Thing was so much like this story. It was so much like
that
story.
Was almost 20 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And again, and not only 20 years ago, 300 years ago. To me, nothing has really changed. It's been going on since then. To me, it's been going on since we got here.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on since we got here. And it's ridiculous at this point. It's just ridiculous. It's so unnecessary,
now,
and it's like
we're going to be talking about something else right now, Cece. I know you know about it. Who came to do a concert there in Baltimore?
Yes.
Who?
Yeah.
Prince?
Huh? Yeah.
Remember when Prince came?
I do remember
right.
when Prince came.
Right, you did.
Did he do the concert there in support?
He did, and my boyfriend and I were in attendance, and I made sure, and I'm so grateful now. Who knew then, a year
exactly.
ago, that he was, oh my goodness, and I've been, I mean, you know, Dirty Mind got me through my freshman year at Hampton, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've loved Prince since he started, but I believe that Prince was moved by the movement here in Baltimore. I know that he saw Marilyn Mosby when she got on the courthouse steps, and she basically threw the book at these cops. We got to see a black woman say, you know, we're going to hold you accountable right now on these counts. We're going to, you know, this officer is going to be held accountable for throwing this young man into a paddy wagon when he couldn't walk and causing his death. We're going to try you, and we're going to make sure that you at least come into a courtroom and face what you did. And that was the first time we had really seen that in a long time. And I mean, I know that Prince saw that national broadcast of her. And then, you know, she and her husband were sitting on stage with Prince at the concert. So I'm sure that he reached out to them personally, and he was moved. I believe that's really what moved him to come to Baltimore. I believe that her speech and her declaration of trying these police officers finally is what moved him to come to Baltimore and show his support, because
yeah.
he saw what the nation saw, and it moved him. And I am so grateful that I went to that concert, and it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal.
And it was so, I would imagine that it was so crowded, I heard, also, of people, you know, supporting, you know, her, and also
it
supporting
was,
you know, people in the community.
And him, and it was crowded and was full of peace and love.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
amazing to think that fewer than 12 months have gone by and he's gone, and,
right.
you know, but he was certainly a visionary, and not to sound maudlin and, you know, and to go through the whole issue with his passing, but, you know, it's again, it goes back to the impact of what these cases have brought to the fore, and it doesn't
yeah.
matter who you are, what your socioeconomic level may be, you know, all of us of color have been impacted by these things, and I still think a lot of us need to speak out. And Cece, I was just wondering, you know, Barack Obama is like less than 30 minutes away from where you are. Do you think he's done enough or said enough, you know, or has Loretta Lynch even appeared in Baltimore to talk about the
wow. Jeez, you know, I don't know. I that's a great question, and that's a relevant question. And, you know, I love our president so much. It's hard for me not to say anything not positive about him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I you know, he could have come here. I mean, I don't know. His plate is so full. I don't know. I don't know, Wayne. I don't know how to answer that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that. I mean, who knows what he's dealing with?
Right. That's true.
No, I don't know.
You know, I mean, because he's so close. You know, I mean, he was at Rutgers University the other day. I mean,
yeah.
I think it would be symbolic. He has nothing to lose at this point. It's about building his legacy. And he's done, and as I said, this is not to beat up on him, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
it's just unfortunate what is happening in that environment. But it's also representative of what's going on in police culture. It doesn't matter where you are. It happens every day here in New York. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for cell phones and cell phone cameras, we would not know about it. That's
oh, please, you know, look at Bill Cosby.
Know?
I'm certain he not to,
not
you know.
Way.
Yeah,
yeah.
You
yeah
know? But I mean, if there were no
here.
Social media, that's my point.
Yeah, yeah.
If there
yeah.
were no social media.
But, you know,
you guys, we got to. Go ahead, Ms. K. I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, we just the nation is going to be looking at these next two indictments. This is what's going to be really, I believe, to set a precedent on a lot of this black on, police on black crime and police on black murder. So I am praying that our court system here in Baltimore steps up and holds these officers accountable for the death of this 18-year-old young man. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody else has gotten off. It's too much.
Yeah.
What has been the history of the Baltimore Police Department up to this particular point, or that which you know of?
They're corrupt. Yeah. I mean, I'd say they're corrupt. They're corrupt. They're infiltrated into the drug environment.
Wow.
They know who to arrest and who not to arrest, and they throw their weight around. I mean, Freddie Gray was riding a bike. What was he doing? What was he doing? So, you know, they target us when they want to, and they're on drug dealers' payroll. I hope that's not, but they are, and they have been for years. But thank God I'm not into the street life. But they, I'm sure, they're harassing and brutalizing and terrorizing young black men and women like they do all over the country. That is why you saw the riots that you did, because these babies are fed up with being treated like they're nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that people should get prepared for this happening over and over and again, because some of these young kids aren't going to be dealing with this. They're just not.
Yeah.
And then we have different people coming in, you know, from Mexico, Latin America. We're talking about people from Cuba. And listen, we all want to live safe lives, but when we have a police department that really isn't in your corner and not doing what they should do as police persons, and they also are still racist, That's unforgivable, and it's unacceptable. And the black community and the Latino community is not going to be dealing with that anymore, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's the point. But I want to hear what Loretta Lynch did, if anything, or did she even address the community when she was there?
In a politically correct way, she did. Mm. But, it was politics. And it was politically correct, and I don't think we haven't heard any more from her.
In other words, not much.
Not much.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
we'll
have to look into that, Wayne, and see what we can find out. You know more about.
Right. And it's so much. I mean, they're dealing with other forms of discrimination, and I'm not saying that. Regardless of what's going on with the country and a sudden shift to be more relaxed with respect to social issues and amenities and lifestyles. But the bottom line is that this particular instance of the degradation that people of color have suffered, and as Cece pointed out, it's been going on 300-400 years, I mean, you just can't sweep this under the rug and just ignore it, because it seems like the only time people are really standing up in righteous indignation is when, you see these cities in flames and it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my myopic opinion, and the deal is that I see now the little things that are going on to change the political climate with respect to lifestyle. And I'm not saying no one should suffer discrimination, but when you see what goes on in a city like Baltimore, what happened here in New York and Staten Island, and what happened in Missouri, there's got to be a wholesale change. And trust me, if there's a change in administration, I'm almost willing to bet dollars to donuts, even if a Democrat gets in, there are going to be wholesale changes with regard to who's going to be handling the Justice Department, the FBI, the CIA, all these things. And yet these issues still prevail.
Yeah, and street life will still prevail.
Exactly.
I mean, Yeah. So, you know.
Do you have a strong, Cece, is there a strong presence of African-American police persons?
Oh, very much so. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The main cop that's on trial for Freddie Gray's death is black.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Right.
And
yeah.
He contends what? What is he saying about the whole thing?
I believe, and I'm not sure, please don't quote, but I believe he was the one that was driving, the black guy that was, black officer that was driving the van, and that did not take, when they were saying, you know, the boy was in distress, didn't take him to get help, like continue to drive around the city, to hit potholes, to go over bumps, to make the ride as uncomfortable as possible. And I have talked to people as early as 2 days ago that have told me, you know, that police do that. When they put you in a paddy wagon, they'll take, you know, make sure that you ride over, they ride over as many humps and bumps to knock you around in the back of that steel box people are sitting in. And hurt you. So if this boy's back was broken, he was handcuffed and shackled, and I can't imagine the torture that he went through in the back of that paddy wagon.
Mm-hmm. Is there a blue wall of silence pervasive in Baltimore among the police department, which is that?
You know, Ms. Kay, I don't know, but I would assume so. Police, you know, we all know the police department is a fraternity.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Cece, so maybe you better not answer that. But you know one thing, when we find that blue wall of silence going on in every city in the United States where, you know, we have the black community, the Latino community, and the non-white community, you know, it really enables police brutality. And I wish people could recognize that and do things about it. And I'm talking about places like Chicago, like, you know, New Jersey.
Yeah.
We're in New Jersey, we know. And we know that I just got an information that the arrests are down more than 90% for low-level crimes in New York. Have you heard that, Wayne?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, depending upon what you believe. You know, I also know the city council today decided to relax a lot of the laws that came up during the Giuliani administration regarding quality of life issues. I mean, because it was clogging up the criminal justice system to a certain extent. And I'm not my history speaks of my opposition to Giuliani and others who are of that political persuasion. But I also think the quality of life crimes are the ones that basically are the forerunners for giving people an indication as to what will be coming down the pike in terms of something serious. So I don't know. I mean, I know the department needs, and I'll just speak for New York, but I'm certain it's across the country. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some sort of behavior modification. They got to change something about the culture that people are not just getting arrested for no reason, you know. But it's how do you pick these people? I mean, we had a shooting here in Brooklyn some months ago where an Asian police officer, someone of color, he was brand new to the department. He put a rookie in a housing project, and kaboom.
Yep.
You know, it's the tension that comes with that. And now you got this split between the Asians and the blacks protesting because they figured, well, you know, our lives don't matter in one sense. And then this guy, they figured that he should be paying a price for what he did. And it's hard. I mean, to a certain extent, I can see both sides, but I blame the department for that. You know, why would you have a rookie out in, you know, in an area that is high crime and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it just says a lot right there. And then we have a black prosecutor who had to go along with whatever the department had to say, it seems. And I respect the guy, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just
what that's about.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sad. I mean, when does it stop, you know? We have a black president. Doesn't it stop?
No.
Well, listen, there was what about stop and frisk in New York? And that was done away with. Is that similar? Do you have something similar to that in Baltimore? where the police can actually just stop you for nothing, stop the kids for nothing, and just, you know, frisk.
Yeah, that's what they did to Freddie Gray. They just, I mean, you know, let's just see what's going on with him. And he wasn't
doing, frisk him and then kill him, you know?
Yeah. Same with Michael Brown. Yeah, Michael Brown.
Exactly.
They killed that. They killed him on camera in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he was begging for his life.
Right.
Eric Garner also. Exactly. I've seen foot patrol officers in around the Ground Zero area where the riots were. So they're trying. They're really trying. They're trying as best as they can, or put on a good face to try, because I know everyone knows, though, that if these police officers that are still waiting to get go on trial, if they get acquitted, the last two, it's going to, like I said earlier, it's going to be bedlam in this city, and that is the bubbling undercurrent, and I cannot blame it, and I hope to God that doesn't happen, because I don't know if Baltimore can stand another outbreak like the one we had last year.
Boy, I'm telling you.
Wow.
The more things change, the more they don't, and it's so unfortunate, you know. But
right.
Cece, listen, I want to thank you for calling in, you know, and giving
thank
us
you
this
for asking me.
Well, listen, we're going to be talking to you more often than not, because we want to find out what's going on outside of Washington, D.C. and in that area. So if we need two people, and we know you, and Eric is going to be angry that he didn't get to the phone in time, but that's okay.
Thank you so much.
It was good to talk to you again. Cece.
Thank you, Wayne.
Okay.
It's a pleasure, always. God bless you
both. Same here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye. Listen, Wayne,
bye-bye.
So what do you think? Bye. So what do you think about Black Lives Matter now? I've been wanting to talk to you about that group of beautiful young people for a long period of time, and I'm glad that they exist, and I hope they swell in numbers.
Yeah, I think that we have to keep this level of tension up. I know that a lot of people feel it's just racist, but if you look at the numbers of people, young people involved, they're not just of one hue, you know what I mean? They're all of different complexions, and they understand it. And you know, when we say Black Lives Matter, Latino Lives Matter, Asian Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, but it's the mindset of a certain few, and that's what troubles me. It's like, the National Rifle Association throw its support behind Donald Trump. The polls lately indicate that his numbers are almost in a dead heat with Hillary Clinton. You know, I worry about, you know, what's going to happen in the climate here in New York. I mean, not just in New York, but around the country, you know. And I think a lot of people just think this is part of a game. You know, they see him on TV and they figure, well, let's anoint this guy. And regrettably, Hillary has gotten caught up in some things, you know, with respect to what's going on with the email expose as being state secretary. You know, she's in a very vulnerable spot, and you have Bernie Sanders, who says he's a Democrat, but he certainly acts like as if he's running independently. You know, I don't know what to make of it, but I would hate to see this man in office. And I mean, we know his history here in New York, Kay. I mean, there have been times,
I don't see how people can really take him seriously, because he is a performer. He's an entertainer. He makes you laugh. You know, he does.
It says a lot about the climate that we live in today. It's changed that much.
Yeah. What if somebody calling him the man baby or something like that?
Oh, yeah, the guy used to host the show. I forgot John Stewart.
That's really, it's really strange,
right.
You know. Yeah, black lives do matter, you know. What's of course they matter. I mean, they matter more and more every single day, and I get so sick and tired of going over this stuff over and over and living it over and over again. You know, when is it racism going to end? And then we have the ISIS, that, you know, information from that group, which it really isn't information. It's just massacres. It's just you know, you really don't know what to think. You don't know where to turn next, you know, because there's always these things about, you know, so much fighting, so much killing, and I don't even know if it's ever going to stop. I don't even know the numbers and amounts of killings in the various countries. I don't even know the numbers about the numbers of killings of people in the police department, which is the place we most fear, because these people are, you know, they're together. They're an organization that is set up, you know, to protect our community and not do negative things to the community, because it only inspires negative things. And I'm just being very, you know, low-key about that. The negative activity and negative things directed at one group to another, you know, means that you're always going to get it back. What goes around comes around.
I see that happen all the time. And the older I get, is the more I have to say that I that's almost like my guidance through life now, because you want to do good by people because you just don't want anything negative to come back at you. I know we all have made mistakes, you know, and no one's exempt from making a mistake, and God knows I'll probably make another one again. But the bottom line is, if you have the if you're cognitively aware of what is going on, and you try to do the things that work in the interest of everyone, I mean, that's the best you could do. There's nothing more, nothing less, you know? And
I don't even know the way to think about some of these things, because they keep happening over and over and over again. And you just really don't know what's going to be going on. What's been going on there in New York City regarding the police department? I mean, I know they are, they're taking on new recruits. So what's the situation?
Well, they have. I mean, I can't say the only thing that really I found significant today was the fact that the city council passed a resolution to soften the quality of life crimes because, well, two things. It cost the city with the myriad of lawsuits that came out of the Giuliani and the Bloomberg administration, where people were being stopped and frisked and held against their will, and there was nothing relevant, you know, about bringing charges against them. Every time they sue, you know, it's costing the taxpayers tons of money to have to pay this stuff back. So I understand to a certain extent why de Blasio and others in the administration are – it's not to say that everybody gets a free ride down. I mean, if you do something that is certainly – you know, out of turn, they're going to stop you regardless of what goes on. But I think it's not going to have the criminal element, you know, the severe punishment that one ordinarily would get, as opposed to, just having it be more of a civil case than anything else. But the climate is still very tense here, I find. I mean, I travel. Sometimes I prefer to use public transport.
Why is it so tense?
Well, I think I don't know. I just feel that there's a, you know, I think society, for some reason, is a new decadence in the city. I mean, it's like we have so many people who are living here now who are not really familiar with the history. I mean, they read about it, but they're coming from other cultures. I mean, I wanted to ask Cece before leaving, but it didn't dawn on me until after about there's been a flight out of Baltimore recently, and there was a study just done how there's a huge turnover rate, particularly a lot with the eastern states, of people just leaving the urban centers, you know? And a lot of it has to do with money. I know it's expensive to live in New Jersey and with the taxes and New York and all that business, and forget about the rents here. You know, that's why we have such a problem with homelessness. But the deal is, I also think coming out of all this frustration is a spike in crimes. I mean, you see these stabbings going on, slashings on the subway. You know, you're afraid to go out. You're afraid to do anything.
I mean, why, you know, slashings, you know, we've been reading an awful lot about that, you know, in New York.
Yeah, and
what,
the thing is,
where does that
I don't
come
know.
From?
It just seems like it's monkey see, monkey do. Somebody sees that they got away with it on the news, and then next thing you know, there's a plethora of these slashings going on. And then they crack down on the subways just to make sure that something doesn't happen to anesthetize the situation. And then something else becomes vulnerable because there are only 44,000 cops to a 9 million populace. So, you know, something's going to slip through the cracks. And the thugs know that, you know, to a certain extent. And that was it. I mean, I remember a while back when you had Wilfredo on, we were talking about that whole issue with the stop and frisk. And I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not one to advocate it. I do know there's an element out here that needs to be watched. But I also see the other side, too, because I was going through, and I don't mind publicly saying this, I was going through, come again?
The elements in the police department also needs to be watched. You know?
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I had somebody stop me in one of the most wealthiest communities in Westchester County. I was coming from a Home Depot, and I missed my turn where I normally would go to a location that I have here. And the deal is that I couldn't – I guess because it was getting dark and the roads in Westchester are not as well lit as they are in the city, and I wasn't speeding. I clearly had lumber in my car. I had a receipt to show that I had just left the Home Depot. And I got pulled over because – I didn't see a sign that said I could not turn right, but I came to a full stop on the intersection, and anyone knows New York state law that outside of the five boroughs, anybody can make a right turn unless it's clearly marked that you can't.
Uh-huh.
And in the city primarily where I do most of my driving, there's a sign that would be below the stop sign that says no right turn. You know, I think that's that way in Jersey. But somehow, this particular road, the sign where you couldn't make a right turn was behind me. And trust me, I don't even want to go back there to confirm it because, you know, right away I get pulled over. And it was almost like as if because of the way I was dressed, and I'm not going to put on a three-piece suit to do construction work, that, you know, the attitude of the young officer is almost like as if, well, is there something I should be concerned about? And then as I was wrapping things up, oh, you speak very well. I said, well, what has this got to do with me getting pulled over? I mean, was there an anticipation of something that you expected me to stage a rally outside this intersection it's a particular mindset when you leave certain areas, but I think it is something that is commonplace in all of the departments across the country. They see you and they don't know you, but right away, you know, they try to come up with something, and then God forbid, in my case, my license is clean. I'm not doing anything that would be considered untoward, you know, the regulations of the state or the country for that matter. I like to drive. I want to keep it that way. But it's just that you can't help but feel that at times you're being profiled.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So
there's no doubt about it. This
yeah,
the
you
lady
know.
The lady whose name was Bland, I think. She was stopped by a policeman when she was driving out there, and I forget the state. And she ended up hanging herself. So they say, I still don't believe that this lady hung herself because she had just been hired by a well-known university, going to that university to start a new career.
Educated woman. I think she had a law degree, if I'm not mistaken. You know,
I think so.
And she committed. And they say she committed suicide.
She did not commit suicide. I never will believe that.
Right.
Yeah, because
but that's what they want you
intelligent.
To.
Yeah, I know. And it's because the white policeman stopped her for no good reason whatsoever. Okay? And she ended up dead, being hung in her cell. They still haven't dealt with it. They still haven't dealt
with it. Right, exactly.
Right, exactly. Then was this nut who didn't like the way a black kid was playing loud music. I don't know if that was in Texas or Florida or where. But also
yeah,
they ended
yeah.
up killing that kid, you know? And
right,
also Trayvon
right.
Martin, you know, and Eric Garner, so many, and it seems like it never stops. And how do you stop from being angry, being perpetually angry
well,
about these? You
and
think?
The older I get, is the more angry I. Because I mean, the thing
yeah.
is that you see something uncalled for, and yeah. and unfortunately, a lot of us don't have the, you know, like we're retired now. It's not like as if you. You know, I mean, there was a time when you could call somebody, say something, drop a name, this, that, and the other. Forget about it. I mean, you're no different mm-hmm. than anyone else out here. And not to say that I need special privileges, but, you know, I just think about that from time to time.
No, you just need respect.
Yeah,
respect.
That's it. It's about respect.
You don't assume that you, because you're of a certain color, that they're going to be. It's going to be a negative situation.
Yeah.
But you see, I really think you know, a lot of white policemen, you know, need psychological testing before they become cops. I really do.
Yeah, and another thing I'm watching now. There's a big scandal here in New York, coming out of the I would say the Orthodox Jewish community. They're not saying that they're behind it, but apparently they have somebody who had a connection with the police department and getting guns for friends that, you know, wanted to be armed. And New York has one of the most, stringent police laws. You know, you could probably own a gun, but you can't walk around with it or ride with it and things like that. Unless, you know, you're in the media like a reporter. And even at that, even when I had that privilege, I didn't feel comfortable doing it because I always felt if you had a gun, somebody could very well use it against you. But now, the way things are going, you kind of wonder, well, gee, you don't know. But I'm just surprised why would somebody feel that they have to arm a certain element out here if everybody's trying to obey the law, you know?
Yeah.
So,
you know what I want to ask you about the Eric Garner case? What was really the, the final findings in that case? We saw what happened.
I know that they won the lawsuit against the city in terms of a settlement was done, but you know, I know the police officer got off. To a certain extent, I mean, I wouldn't say got off like a slap on the wrist or something. He will have to face some sort of discipline. But I don't think the whole situation is over with yet, if I'm not mistaken.
Wait a minute. He committed murder. He committed murder. We saw it on television.
I know that, Kay. What we saw and what the grand jury saw are two different things. That's the only way I could say it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and we've seen this again. We saw this with Amadou Diallo. We saw this with Eleanor Bumper. We didn't even have cameras then. But, you know, the impact of the shooting tells the story.
1 minute.
We
have just about 1 minute, Wayne. You know, boy, I'm telling you that, you know, every time I think of the Eric Garner case, I really get so angry. And I think about the Trayvon Martin and so many others. You know, we've been going
through
this. Right. It's like an imagine. You know, it never ends.
I'm amazed that guy Zimmerman had. Yeah, I was just going to say.
50 seconds.
Well, listen, I'm not gonna beat the clock tonight. I was already late thinking it was Tuesday, but you know, Kay, it was always a pleasure to be on with you and Eric. I guess he's on assignment tonight.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know.
He'll be coming. You know,
yeah, I hope Eric runs for president of city council one day. Something like that. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wayne. This is Kay Thompson.
Okay.
Thank you, Wayne Gilman, and thank you, everybody, for listening. My name is Kay Thompson, and join us again for Kay Thompson Live. And thanks to Lisa Payne for her providing me with the necessary
information. Oh, good. Tell me, I said hello.
Right. Hey, Wayne.
Just Lisa said,
hey, Wayne.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Good to hear your voice. We need to have you on.
Okay. Good night, everyone. Kay Thompson Live every Wednesday, 8 to 9, with Wayne Gilman. Didn't get it.